What is up, podcast? Happy Thursday. Hopefully everyone's having a great week. Today's episode, I'm with Jared again. He and I have a great, nice little conversation about vulnerability, fear, insecurities, and then we also kind of segue into like the capacity of good and how humans can be good, and you know, we just have a good conversation about that. I hope y'all enjoy, and until next time. You like the smell of that candle?
Yeah.
It's kind of homey.
It is homey. I like it.
I usually go
vanilla
for
vanilla bean.
I usually go for citrus flavors.
Scents.
Good one. You know me, and just eating candle wax. Although I think it's made from, no, it's soy. Hey, is it a soy candle?
No, it doesn't say.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Why'd you go with the vanilla bean?
Huh?
Why'd you go with the vanilla bean instead of citrus?
Because it's like a home. It's a homey smell.
It's more homey. It's more homey. That's true.
And that's what I'm all about here, is just making it feel like home.
It's a very warm scent.
It is. Oh. Yeah. And it's not overpowering for the space. I used to be that way. I would get like super overpowering, overwhelming scents.
So young, so much to learn.
I know, it's all good. Yeah. So, you ready for vacation, man? I'm super excited.
It'll be fun. This whole summer's been a vacation though, so.
For you.
Yeah. Mystery. And whole last semester.
Well, yeah. No, both. No kidding.
Yeah. But yes, I'm pumped. I've never been. Never been to Gatlinburg.
I know. Well, and this will be a true taste of Gatlinburg, just because we will be drinking quite a bit, I'm sure, as we will be tasting various moonshines and whiskeys. What are you most looking forward to? Like moonshine, whiskey, cream liqueur?
Like, I'm typically a whiskey person.
Yeah.
Like a bourbon or just...
There is no bourbon.
That's fine.
There is whiskey, but a lot of it's flavored.
It's fine.
So I'm intrigued to see.
We'll see how much
to hear your thoughts
on. We'll see how I'm feeling, see how much I want to have.
But like, don't sleep on the moonshine.
I won't. No, I'll try everything and then make my judgments.
So many people that I've had to taste the moonshine like here at Miami and just haven't. They're like, no, the alcohol is too strong. I'm like, you're crazy.
I've not ever had a drink with the alcohol being too strong. Like where I'm just like, it makes me want to cough or something.
Well, that means you have good quality alcohol.
I do. I don't drink shitty stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I try not to, but sometimes you just don't know.
It's true. Sometimes you just gotta try it and see what happens.
Although there's gonna be some alcohol that you're gonna... I mean, there's like the white, like the pure moonshine.
Like I've had smoky stuff that made me like, it burns. But I've never had a problem drinking it.
I think it's...
Whereas, like, some people will, like, cough or, like, oh, that's disgusting. I'm like, I don't see the problem in it.
I think Old Smoky has, like, 112 proof.
See, yeah, I've had Bacardi 151. Yeah.
See, yeah, and, like...
Even with that, like, I was just, like, people were, like freaking out about it. I was like, I don't really, like... I mean, yeah, well, it was, like, it was bad.
151? Is it 151?
The proof is 151.
Okay.
Damn. And I was like, just, like... 5% alcohol. Yeah, you can burn it on fire. Like, you can run your car on it, basically.
That's cool.
But it was just like, yeah, it was bad, but it wasn't, like, as bad as everyone, like, says it is.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, when you've never been at the cabin, because I know, like, you've been to the Mount. Have you been to, like, the...
I've never been to Tennessee.
This is crazy.
Because I always go to Kentucky. Like a
flip-flop from last summer. Like, I've never been to the ocean.
Right.
But, like, at
least... Oh, well, I've been to mountains.
You've seen mountains before.
I have been to mountains.
You haven't been to the Smoky Mountains.
That is true.
They're pretty. I'm excited.
Oh, mountains are... they are.
Because I haven't... Last summer would have been the last time I went. And I don't even... No.
Because we talked about...
No, I think the last time I went... No, yeah, it was last June was the last time we went, because we went as a family.
Because we were talking about going to your cabin this year and going skydiving.
Yes.
Did not work out.
It did not.
It still should be in the works, though.
It should Definitely.
It definitely is still in the works.
Definitely still is in the works. I think we're prioritizing money on other things at the moment.
Well, I mean,
because we could probably do it. We could probably do it on Saturday morning.
Yeah, but it's like, $500? No, it wouldn't be that
much. No.
$200?
I have no idea. I didn't look into it because I knew I didn't have the money for it.
We might have to look into that, Zach. There's got to be training or something.
I think you do a crash course at the beginning because you go with somebody. You'll jump with someone.
Unless you do I think you can do a full day training beforehand and jump by yourself.
Mm.
Yeah.
That would be.
But I think once you do it once,
you can go by yourself. I think that's true as well.
Yeah.
I wonder how they keep track of that.
I don't know. Maybe we have skydived before then. Wink, wink.
Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge. No, but skydiving, that just sounds so exhilarating.
It does. So, it's just amazing. I mean, if you talk to anyone that's ever skydived, they've not really regretted it.
It was Yes Theory that did it.
With Will Smith?
Yeah, with Will Smith jumping out of
the helicopter. And then they did another thing with all of Amar from Yes Theory, all of his friends, for his birthday. They flew a bunch of them out for his, I don't know, it was some special birthday. And then they all went skydiving. And they were terrified, most of his friends were. And then they all, because they did it multiple times, and they all loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. That would be something. I don't know if our fall breaks are... No, I think I'm going to...
I don't have a fall break anymore.
Why?
I don't know.
Biju doesn't have one at all?
Biju does not have a fall break.
Not even a day?
Nope. It's like... I mean, we have Memorial Day or something like that. Or Labor Day.
Labor Day, yeah. That's crazy. Because we have one day. We have a Friday off.
We used to have Thursday, Friday. That was my freshman year. My first year. And then we got the new J term for the winter, so our weeks got shortened by one, so they took out the fall break.
Interesting. Yeah, so back to the skydiving. People are always terrified to do it.
They are.
Are you scared? Would you be scared?
See, things like that, with the Yes Theory thing, I wouldn't be freaking out. I'd be loving it.
See, I would be the same. I say I would be the same way, but I feel like once,
I mean, once up, I would get a little anxiety about it. I would get
anxious.
But I would not be scared the whole time. I would look at that and be like, that's dope.
Yeah. Which I did. There's an interview with Will Smith about his experience skydiving for the first time. Mm-hmm. And just they were drinking the night before, and they were like, yeah, we should go skydiving, and everyone was like, yeah, because they were drunk and didn't know any better. And then the next morning they woke up, he woke up, and he was like, wait, did we actually say we were doing this? And he was basically shitting himself, because he was like, I don't want to do this. And then he went down to the lobby when they were supposed to meet, and everyone was there, and he's like, oh shit, this is for real. And then they're all in the car, and he said the car ride is just dead silent, because he's you could tell everyone was why are we doing this? And then he goes through and talks about the whole training a little bit, and then getting in the plane, and it's just you're just sitting there why did I ever agree to this? This is the craziest thing that I could be doing. And just fear, and he's like, as soon as they open the door, you realize you've never been in an airplane
with the doors open. I've seen that. Yeah, I've seen that.
And he's just it just brings your fear to a whole nother level. And then you're like, are we still going to do this, or are we going to back out? And soon enough, people start jumping out of the plane, and you're just like, oh boy, it's my turn now. And you jump out, and you're just like, that is the maximum point of fear. And there's just nothing you can do, because you're with someone, and they just push you out, kind of a thing. You go out with them. And then he's like, as soon as you get out of the plane, as soon as you go past that maximum point of fear, it's bliss. And I'm sure you know the quote.
On the opposite side of, or that after the point of maximum fear is complete and utter bliss, or
something like that. And like, that's just, it's crazy. And it's just one of those things that, like, I listened to that. I think I heard that. I think you shared that with me a couple years ago, maybe.
I don't know. Yeah, that was a while ago.
That was a long time ago. And, like, ever since then, like, that's such a powerful message. Is just, like, why do we fear?
Well, it's rational. I mean, like, think about it. You're jumping out of an airplane. You're, like, you're jumping in the midair, falling towards the earth. Yeah. Like, it's a rational thing to be like, I don't really want to do that.
But I mean, and he goes, Will Smith goes on to say, like, why did I let the fear of jumping out ruin my day? Mm-hmm. Because I was worried about it all morning, all day, until I jumped out. Mm-hmm. And why? And I guess that's a better question. Like, why do we let fear? Because it is a rational thing. Like, it is our body telling us, like, you know, probably shouldn't do this. Like, you probably shouldn't jump out of a plane 15,000 feet in the air, and which makes complete sense. But, like, why do we think about it so much and, you know, have it placed? I feel like it's such a burden on us when we think about fear and things that we don't want to do because we're scared.
Well, I think it's something that, it's a very, very deep thing. Like, it's very hard to, without knowing the material or without knowing the things super well, I don't feel I'm able to speak on it. With certain things of, like, certain philosophical truths of things that are found in that. Mm-hmm. But it's facing the unknown, and then what is found in the unknown. And usually what is found in the unknown is what you need and what you're looking for.
Yeah, that's a good point. One is, like, why, you know, I get there's a rational side or, mm-hmm. like, there's a reason mm-hmm. sometimes of fear, but, like, why do we succumb to that fear? Like, why do we, you know, let that fear overpower us and overrule us mm-hmm. when, you know, just kind of what you said of just, like, once you get through it and you go into that unknown, you go into the uncomfortable situation, you typically find something that, you know, you learn something about yourself, or you realize, like, your potential and how mm-hmm. much potential you have. And, you know, typically, like, I don't think I've ever regretted doing something that scared me.
Typically you don't, no. I mean, as long as it's a healthy
thing. As long as I'm not being an idiot. Like,
right. That's what I think. That's the caveat.
As long as I'm being safe and
as long as you're
healthy and, like,
you're not being an idiot, which I guess some people could say jumping out of a plane is being an idiot.
Yeah. But, like, I'm being safe about it. You know, I'm with someone that's a trained professional to do it. Exactly. I have a parachute on. Yeah. Hopefully it works.
You know, sometimes it doesn't. And accidents happen. And that's where the fear comes in. But then I would ask, where would you say fear comes from? I think that it would be the underlying problem to answer your question or answer your seeking, or where you're seeking, you need to find the answer of where does the fear come from? Where does it lie?
I think the first thing that came to my head right there when you asked that is our insecurities.
Yeah.
You're fearful, definitely some things. You fear situations that might possibly exploit your insecurities.
Oh, for sure. I mean, because we're all insecure with some
about
things.
Some things.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's something that, you know, that's a point that I've really tried to work on.
Which is vulnerability.
100%.
And we love vulnerability, even though it sucks.
It's a bitch.
Yeah.
It's a bitch. But, like, insecurity, you know, I've been super insecure about my acne for a long time, going back to high school.
Yeah, and that's just a little thing.
And that's such a small thing, but, like, to me, it used to be a huge thing,
mm-hmm.
and now it's not. Now it's just, like, it's just, it's who I am. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I bring it up to my closest friends, and they're like, "Don't, like, why are you worried about it?" You know, and it's one of those things that, like, my parents bring it up, I get pretty pissed off. Not anymore, but I used to. Like, I remember we had a fight because they brought it up, and, like, screaming at each other because I was like, "Why do you, like, you know, mm-hmm. that's something I don't want to talk about? So why do you bring it up?" And, like, now thinking about that, it's like I'm grateful in a sense of they bring it up, just because it, you know, built strength within me to be able to talk about it. It built that vulnerability aspect. Well, and it's just one of those things that, like, I feel like once you are vulnerable to enough to talk about your insecurities, there's just a huge weight lifted off your shoulders.
Well, there wouldn't be insecurities anymore.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just one of those things that, like, and it's hard. Like, some people are insecure about things that they don't consciously know.
That is where a big issue arises.
And it's, or they, like, they know they're insecure about something, but they don't want to admit it.
And that and is, I think
that's the worst kind of insecurity.
And I think even with people that, like, I mean, it's overused. The first step to getting over something is admitting you have a problem to it. Mm-hmm. And, like, that is so overused, but it is true. So
true.
But it is true. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing of, like you can, like, you can continue to be pissed off about this one thing or whatever. But until you admit that you're pissed off about it because you're insecure about it, you're going to continue being miserable in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, and that goes for anything. That, I mean, insecurities, which I guess, like, because, you know, denial is big in, like, alcoholism and drugs and stuff like that. But, like, I feel like those stem from insecurities.
You know, the underlying, the reason why you're doing, typically, either because of how it started is because you weren't comfortable with yourself. There was something that you were not okay with, and you covered it up with drugs. A happy person, a person who has nothing to be concerned about or worried about or insecure about necessarily. I mean, we all have insecurities, as I said before, but, like, they understand their insecurities at least. Mm-hmm. They have no reason to take the drug to get the high or to get trashed, get blacked out, and become an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Because they know themselves and they're happy with themselves. When you become happy with yourselves and you become just like a happy person and joyful and grateful and all those things. And not to say, like, those people aren't, or if you're on drugs that you aren't happy or all those things, there's something deeper you're missing. There's something you're covering up, and you're covering it up with the drugs until you can. And a lot of things with alcoholism and drug use, I think it will only stop when you work with the insecurity, when you work with the thing you don't want to work with.
And how do, like, I guess, how do we do that?
And that's, I think you,
how do we stop and realize
that's going to be your choice? Like, I would say you can't, you can't force people. Nope. You can encourage them, and that's about it. You can encourage them and let them know that you're there.
Yeah.
And other than that, it has to be their choice, because if it's not, they're just not going to do it. And if they do it, they won't do it right, because it's going to be out of resentment.
I mean, I guess, like,
but how do I like we find that, it?
But how, so, like, if I have this insecurity, you know, I guess I'll share, like, my experience with the acne part of it. Like, after that fight with my parents, because it happened this summer after I got back from Lux, like, I was fuming, because, like, I had expressed, like, before multiple times, like, just don't talk to me about it. Like, I'm working on it. I'm trying to do what I can do to make it better, and just don't talk to me about it. And after that fight, like, I went downstairs, and I'm pretty sure I think I journaled after that. It's probably somewhere in the apartment. But I was just like, you know, enough's enough. Like, I can't be mad at them for bringing something up, because I don't want them to bring it up because I'm insecure about it.
Yep.
And it's like that admittance and that, you know, realization
of,
like,
peace about it.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, like, this is something that I recognize within myself that I'm insecure about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how can I fix that? How can I change that? Because I don't want it to be an insecurity. Like, mm-hmm. it's part of me. It's who I am. It's how God created me. Why would I ever be ashamed of that?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a thing. And, like, once I was able to say that, hear that,
mm-hmm.
and understand that, I think that's when I really, like, that insecurity just went away.
Yeah.
And, like, I think I was open, you know, to changing, you know, how I, like, I wash my face two times a day now. I do a face mask multiple times a week. I put lotion on every time after I wash my face. Like, I researched a little bit how to, you know, take care of it, and I started it, and I think it's gotten better, but, like, it's not a huge anxiety point anymore. It's just, you know, I'm doing what I'm doing, and it's whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
I just think, you know, someone that has an insecurity, but, like, isn't willing to admit it yet, like, that's just the first step. You have to sit down with yourself and say, like, yeah, this is real. How can I change it? How can I, you know, get over this hurdle,
this obstacle, this insecurity? Which you kind of explained going through that, kind of everything you need to do of you just need to admit it and accept it. Mm-hmm. And once you do that, it's going to go away. But you have to do that. And it's scared to admitting it and then accepting it. Because once you admit it, you have to do something about it. It's no longer in the dark. It's in the light. It's been said.
Yeah.
And you need to do something with it.
And having, like, call up that closest friend and say, like, hey, you know, real talk. Are you busy? Because I got, like, I'm going to talk to you about something. And just, like, can you, like, can this friend hold you accountable?
Yeah.
You know, if you're kind of starting to fall off the wagon or whatever you want to use, like, phrase you want to use there, like, if you trust them enough and you respect them enough to step in and say, like, mm-hmm. no, like, you're going back down that path, like, it's really nice to have that person that holds you accountable.
But that's being vulnerable, and that takes a lot of time.
That's a lot of vulnerability.
And you have to trust the person, and that's a big thing. And you're never going to know if you can fully trust the person going into that, and that's where the kind of the faith and
it's where
that,
fear comes
and,
in, too.
With the fear, yeah. Mm-hmm. To end up trusting that person and to give that person that power.
Yeah. You never know if you can trust someone until you put yourself in a position where you have to trust that person.
Correct.
And you have to put faith, and you have to have faith in
them. You can know, like, you cannot trust somebody by not, like, just interacting with them, but you can never know if you can fully trust somebody until you
test it.
You test it.
You put it to the test, and either they come through or they don't.
Yeah. Which you can start with little things.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, you'll never know fully, like, until you...
For me, personally, like, true friends, like, I start with the little things, but then it gets big. And it's not necessarily, like, I don't plan.
No, it's subconscious.
But it's just, like, I have my moment for, you know, Casey and Momo. Like, I have the moment in my mind where, like, I saw their loyalty and their trust. Like, I saw that for me.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I will forever be grateful and will forever be loyal to them because of what they did for me
in
the certain situation last fall. And, like, that, you don't get opportunities like that a lot.
Right.
But when you have the moment, when the opportunity arises, you have to rise to the occasion and you have to put your trust in that person.
Then they might fail you. And eventually they will, because we're all human. We all fail. We all make mistakes.
Do they succeed? That might not be the best word. Do they come through for you more than they fail you?
Right. And that's
like that balance.
And that's where you can't say, especially with relationships and friendships, but even in boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, they can't be all. They can't be everything, because when they are, you're going to find out real fast that they're not perfect, mm-hmm. and they're going to fail you really fast, and you're going to be upset about it.
Yep.
And I don't know why you're going to be upset when someone fails you. Like, you can be disappointed, but you can't be pissed at them, because especially if they meant good intentions, because, like, they're human. They're going to make mistakes. They can't read your mind. They don't know your expectations.
Yeah.
They don't know everything that you want from them or expect from them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to upset you and get on your nerves or whatever. Everyone will.
And, like, as much as you communicate with them, like, they're still never going to know you.
Because they don't even know themselves fully.
Knowing myself, I feel I know myself really well.
Well.
But it's an ongoing process.
Yeah, like, you're constantly developing, changing, refining, but you're also, like, finding new things about yourself. Like, you're never going to stop learning about yourself.
Yeah.
And if you're not done learning about yourself, how can someone figure you out?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not, like, you can know a person to a certain sense and know their heart and or to some degree and know what they're all about. And that's good.
I feel like you can know their values.
You can know their values. And that's a good...
Those don't change.
That's a good indicator, pointer to, like, who you can trust and who they're trying to be.
And who they're trying to be. Let's dive into vulnerability. You watched the Brene Brown video, right? That was a while ago. I don't remember much, but I know that was a really, really good TED. That was a Netflix special.
Well, it was a TED. She had two TED Talks and a Netflix special.
Vulnerability, it's well, shit, I've been vulnerable here. Mm-hmm. Opening up about different things. But it's one of those things that, you know, if you're vulnerable to if you're vulnerable to another person, they're most likely going to be vulnerable back.
There's a good chance that the door will open. They might not take it, but there's a good chance. At least you open the door.
Just because that, I feel like that's how vulnerability works. Like if you know, I open up a little bit, mm-hmm. well then, you know, maybe you just let your guard down a little bit and you feel more comfortable.
Right. And then you're more likely to open up a little bit.
And I love that just because then we can actually talk.
Yeah.
Like let's get real here. And but that's it's a touchy game like that.
Well, it's a scary game because like that's where fear comes in. Like uh-huh. Because you're being vulnerable. So a good analogy is from, so you have a fishbowl. So your life is a fishbowl. You're in the fishbowl. To be transparent, to let people know what's going on, is to let them see, like they can see into the fishbowl, they can see what's going on in your fishbowl. Mm-hmm. To let someone, allow someone to be vulnerable with you, you let them into your fishbowl where they can mess things up.
Yeah.
Where it's not just seeing what's going on, they can hurt you if they want to. They can rearrange all your fish housing items or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Being vulnerable is so much more than being transparent or letting people know what's going on. It's allowing people, it's giving the person the power to say, I trust you enough to hurt me or not hurt me, but I'm giving you the power. You have that power to hurt me or not.
Yeah.
And that is a scary thing because we don't want to be hurt. That is the one thing we do in life is run away from being hurt. Like we don't want to be hurt.
That goes back to the skydiving thing. Like your body, you know, that's back to the rational fear. Like your body is going to protect you at all costs.
Yeah.
And you have to train your mind to say like, no, like this is
a good thing.
This is growth. This will be fail. Like if I go through this situation that is fearful for me, it's going to be growth in the long run. I may fail or I may get through it, mm-hmm. you know, but in the end there will be a lesson that I learned. Mm-hmm. And you know, that lesson could be skydiving isn't that scary. Mm-hmm. Like it's such a blissful thing once I'm, you know, just in free fall in the middle of the atmosphere. It may be, you know, you are extremely vulnerable with someone you thought was your best friend and they go and backstab you and spread what you were vulnerable about with other people. And then it goes on social media and then you're exposed. Mm-hmm. Like
that hurts. And that's like I said, back to the rational fear. That's a rational fear when you're vulnerable with somebody, they have the opportunity to hurt you.
Yeah.
And you don't know if they are going to or not.
And it's just one of those things like if it doesn't work out, you're going to be judged. People are going to look at you differently, but it goes back to how do you feel about yourself when you're by yourself?
Right. Yeah. I agree with that.
Like, I'm at a point where, you know, going back to the acne, like, it doesn't bother me anymore. Mm-hmm. Someone brings it up, I'm like, okay. But, you know, so if that ever got out, if it got on social media or whatever, it would not bother me if people judged. Mm-hmm. I don't care.
Right, you've accepted
it. Like, I've accepted that it's something that is a part of me.
Right.
And, like, if people judge... See, I think if people judge... if a person judges another person for whatever it is, the person that's judging typically has an insecurity about themselves, and that's why they're judging.
Correct. I mean, look at bullies. I mean, bullies are the same way.
Yeah.
A bully is one of the most insecure people that there is.
Yep.
Rightfully so. Usually bullies have something going on at home of like maybe a, like we'll say like middle school, high school, of like a parent's divorce or something like that, where they're insecure about themselves and start taking it out on other people.
Yep.
And I mean, because people don't even know how to, most of the time, process information of their own. And so they're just going to pick on other people because they are insecure or have something that they're going through that they don't know how to properly handle and work through.
Yeah.
And that's where, again, you have the drug use and the alcoholism, because you don't know how to properly work through it. And so you're going to turn to something to numb the pain or to make you feel better by putting other people's down.
How can you find a way to properly handle it and go through it?
And I think that's facing the unknown. And that's looking at it and not like, yeah, it's going to be scary, and going through it. And like going into the deep dark of somewhere you don't want to go. And it's like some tools you could use is have that friend that, hey, I'm really struggling going through this. Help me to go through this. And saying it out loud. As long as it's in your mind and you've not talked about it to anyone, it will be 30, 40, 100 times worse. And as soon as you speak it, it will be not nearly as bad. It'll be a little thing that you have to deal with now. Mm-hmm. Because I know if I'm like worried about something, doing something that, or stressing about something, as soon as I just talk about it, I'm like, oh, it's fine now. Yeah. Like it doesn't, it's, you have to speak it, and you bring it, when that happens, you bring it into community. Mm-hmm. And then it's shared, and it's not this big, scary, dark, deep thing, because it's not in the dark anymore. You brought it into the light by speaking about it.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very powerful tool to use when you're trying to face those things, you're trying to go through certain things, is like, just talk about it. Don't have any agenda of what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Just be like, hey, this is how I'm feeling. This is kind of what I'm going through. This is what I'm scared of. This is what I'm afraid of. By talking about it, you will learn more about it, and it won't be as scary. And that is one of the most, like, I do it all the time, because if I'm working through an idea, if I'm working through whatever, you need to talk about it, and you will develop that idea so much more, and it'll be more clear. And you'll be able to understand it better, and you won't be as scary. And I mean, it's just, it's good.
Preach.
It's good.
Oh. Wow, that was so good.
Yeah.
Could you imagine, like, if you had that group of people that, you know, if you had a group of 7 friends and you were all just open.
Right.
You know? Not being with like 7, too much information, but just being vulnerable with like, each other. Like
7, how, like normally like 2 or 3 people and that's it.
How powerful, like how that group of people.
Yeah. But it's hard to come by.
Would be unstoppable.
Yeah.
In this world.
Oh yeah. Well, and that's the thing is like, I love the idea. And I mean, part of the something that I try to strive for, and of course I fail at, is we know how bad people can be. Like, look at Hitler, look at Stalin, look at all these people. We know
how
shitty people can be. Like, look at all that. Like, there's so many different things in psychology of tests that have been done that show just how awful we are.
Yeah.
How good can we be? Like, look at, like, the Mother Teresa's and those types of people, or, like, the Gandhis and stuff like that. Like, we can be so good.
We have so much
potential. We have so much potential for good and evil. And bad. Like, mm-hmm. like a lot of people say, like, you have so much potential for evil, but we also have a lot of potential for good. And I want to be like as good as I possibly can be. I want to be like that type of person. Yeah. I want to be like Mother Teresa. Like, obviously I'm not going to be a Mother Teresa. Like, that is not my strength. That is not my
calling. Not your passion.
It's not my thing.
Like,
it's not your why. Like, and what I mean, helping people and being there for people, it is, but in a different way.
Yeah.
But it's being good, like being as good as you possibly can be. We know how bad people can be. What happens if we're as good as people can be? Like, imagine that. And that is something that I try to hold and try to remember of, like, if I get down or I'm like, why am I doing all this? It's just like, how, like, we know how much the world has changed when people have been bad, when people have been like Hitler or Stalin or whatever. Mm-hmm. How much can the world change by one person just being as good as they can be?
Yeah.
And both of those take very intentional movements, and it's very like monotonous sometimes, and it doesn't seem like anything's happening, especially when you're good, because good, you don't always see the results right away.
No.
But
the world, I think that might be it. Like, I feel like if you're bad, like, you get the immediate results.
Oh, for sure.
But if you're good, it takes time.
It's definitely an instant. It's a delayed gratification.
And, you know,
and you might not ever see it.
In today's day and age, like, society's all about instant gratification.
Yeah,
like,
all about that immediate result.
We want the likes, we want the followers, we want the shares, you know. So it's not I feel like it's more appealing
because
of the instant gratification to be evil, and not necessarily like on a scale of what Hitler did, but you know, the rebel without a cause kind of thing as we were growing up. Like, that was more appealing to people than, you know, going to volunteer once a week at a place.
Right.
Just and because. That's crazy. Just because people are so, they want that gratification now.
And you're living for yourself.
And you're just like, it's just frustrating to me.
Oh, for sure.
Just like, be patient with it.
Yeah.
You know, do good and be patient. And it'll come, and it'll feel so much better than any instant gratification you got from doing anything else.
Yeah, I can tell you one thing. The world has been shaped by good men and women, and bad men and women.
Yeah.
You look, again, I'm going to the extreme examples just so it's clear. You look how the world's been shaped by Hitler's and Stalin's.
Yeah.
Look how the world's been shaped by Mother Teresa's and Gandhi's.
Mm-hmm.
Both have extreme capacity to move the world.
Yeah.
You just need to choose what side you want to be on.
Yeah.
And then go to that side and do it. Hopefully it's not the evil side. I don't know why you would choose that. But, I mean, you have every ability to.
That's just every individual's choice.
That's your choice.
And, you know.
Which.
It is what it is sometimes. But you just, I guess, for ourselves, we have to choose what we think is best for us, and hopefully that kind of spreads.
Well, I think as well, I think not just best for us. I think best for society, best for the world.
Best for us and best to serve other people.
Yeah. Because if you choose what's best for you without taking into effect anything else, you're not going to have that change. Like Mother Teresa, what was best for her was not to go into Calcutta where it was the poorest of the poor and she was around all these people. I mean, that probably wasn't best for her.
Yeah.
And it's again, like the moving out of yourself of like, I'm not doing it necessarily for myself. I'm doing it because I love everyone around me and I love my brothers and sisters and I love the world. And I want the world to be the best place as possible. So I'm going to be as best as possible.
Yeah.
So I can make the biggest impact on that end of the spectrum of the best side with the good people instead of making a big impact on the bad. Because we have enough bad.
Yeah.
Let's have some good.
One, I think like if you can shape your purpose like you have there of, you know, serving other people and making sure your purpose fulfills those around you in the world.
Mm-hmm.
If that can, you know, turn into a core belief for you and a core value, then doing what's best for you will fulfill that passion of serving others. And that's kind of what I said when I was like, whatever's best for me. But you have to be, you know, I can say that just because I do look at the higher aspect of, like, I'm, you know, the idea of selfless sacrifice.
Correct. You have that so ingrained, so you can say what's best for me because you already know. It's going to
actually be best for everyone.
Selfless
around.
Sacrifice, but most people, they don't. They don't have the selfless sacrifice. They're not selfless. I mean, even we're not even selfless completely. I mean, no one really is. No.
You always have a personal agenda.
Yeah, and it's remembering, like, yes, and I think your Gandhi quote that you love,
you find yourself when you lose yourself in the service of others.
Yeah, and that's not self. Like, that is, you have to start off, okay, I'm not about myself, I'm about
other people.
The other person. And then once you are about that other person, you're going to find yourself.
Yeah.
And I think that has to be remembered, especially in today's day and age, that yes, we want you to be about yourself, but that's not the way to find it. The way to find yourself is not to be about yourself. The way to find yourself is to be in the service of others.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And however that may be, there's a lot of other, there's many different paths.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Damn. Well, that's a good little segue into the vacation mode.
Oh, yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, it'll be good. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Well, that's it. Thanks for chatting with me again.
Thanks for having me. It was a good time.
Until next time.
Until next time.
Hey guys, I am so grateful for you listening all the way to the end of this episode. I hope you can pull something from this episode to learn more about yourself and just to be more happy in life. And I hope y'all continue to support this podcast and support this journey that we're all on together. Until next time.